On the virtual Bible study tonight, we want to talk about religious division.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some basic causes. And by that, I think we mean some basic attitudes, probably, that people have that lead to all the division and confusion we see in the religious world.
All right, it's going to be an important discussion. We're going to get started on it right now.
It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And we welcome you to the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, May 21st, 2020. Thank you for joining us on the program today. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is here. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, great to be with you tonight. Look forward to a good study on the Virtual Bible
Looking
Study.
Looking forward to that. Kyle's behind the controls. Kyle, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's always good.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for being on the other end of the line. 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. And in the chat room, if you're watching us on the live feed tonight, a lot of folks listen to us in the recorded version, though, and if that's the case, we welcome you to email us at any time, questions@collegeview.com. Our listeners often do email us after the fact. Just want to add a comment or get some clarification or maybe even challenge us about something we've said. We welcome your comments anytime, questions@collegeview.com. We'd love to hear from you anytime you may be listening, anytime something comes to mind that you'd like to discuss. Maybe it's not even related to what you've heard on the program, but you just have a question that you'd like to discuss in this format, on this
even form. If it's a brief question, we'd like to pile some of those up and have one of our listener question nights that we enjoy so much.
Maybe you think, well, it's a short answer, but I don't know it. Or maybe even you think you know the answer, but you'd like to hear what other people think about it. We'll put it out to our listeners around the world, and we can all help each other study what the Scriptures teach on a certain matter. So send those questions to questions@collegeview.com. We'd love to hear from you. We've got some bumper stickers if you'd like to help us get this word spread about the program. Those are free of charge. Send us an email with your snail mail address. We'll get one of those in the mail to you as well. We just look forward to hearing from you. So tonight on the program, we want to talk about what's causing some of the religious division. And certainly, I don't think we have to spend any time establishing that fact that there's religious division in the world.
I think that's right. I don't think there would be any. That might be a single thing that we could all agree upon. That is that we are badly divided in the religious world.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's lots of reasons why, but underlying basic attitudes are contributing to it, I'm sure. And we want to address some of those, at least, in our study tonight. Earlier today, to our update list, we sent out these questions, and we urge you to get on our list. If you're not, send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Say, put me on your list. You would receive our update, and today's update asks these questions. Number one, some people say, I know I'm saved because I feel so good about it. If I were lost, I just know I wouldn't feel so sure that I'm saved. Those who say this are very sincere. And here's the question, though. Can a person be certain he is right religiously simply because he feels right? Number two, frequently we hear people express differing viewpoints about even the most serious of religious issues. Why is this? Why are there so many differing viewpoints? Number three, we live in an age of religious tolerance. So many people say that what we believe does not matter. The important thing is that we sincerely try to please God according to whatever we believe. Others say one faith is as good as another. And so the question is, how important is truth in religion? And the immediate follow-up question number four is, how much do you value the truth in religion? And number five, some say you're just too narrow-minded. In today's society, you have to be more broad-minded. And so the question is, are you narrow-minded or broad-minded in religion?
All right. Good questions. Good topic tonight. We want to hear from you again on the phone, over email, or in the chat room tonight. And, you know, as we talk about this idea of religious division, it doesn't have to be established that there's division. We do need to point out that it's very much counter to what God and Jesus want from the religious community. God and Jesus are not happy with the religious division that exists in the world today.
I think that's the important thing to establish right off the top. And we have frequently mentioned on the Virtual Bible Study the prayer that Jesus prayed just before he was arrested and crucified in John 17. He said in verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone." He had just been praying immediately for his apostles. He said, "I'm not praying for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Well, that's us, right? We believe on Jesus because of what the apostles and other inspired writers recorded for us. So his prayer for the apostles and for us is this, that they all be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So Jesus wanted unity among his followers, and not some false sense of unity, we just agree to disagree, but a kind of unity likened to the unity that existed between him and the Father,
Right. Which
was a perfect agreement, no disagreements at all.
Right. Check out John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, again, for Jesus's view on how important, how imperative it is that his followers be unified. And he talks about there at the end of verse 21, the ramifications and the consequences when we are not unified. The world doesn't have that light that it needs. Imagine if everyone who claimed to be a Christian was unified on the principles of God's word, what a powerful impact that would make on the world.
It would be overwhelming in power in evangelism. And in fact, the division that exists in the religious world is a discouragement to a lot of people. When they begin to investigate Jesus, when they want to find out what the Bible says, what they should do, then they see all this wide spectrum of teaching, all different kinds, contradictory things in the religious world. Many people just throw up their hands and say, I can't figure that out. And so it's keeping the world from believing in Jesus.
That's exactly right. And so it starts with you. It starts with me. We can't control what everyone in the world does. We can control what we do. And we need to make, and everyone listening needs to make the conscious decision, hey, I'm going to do what the Bible says to do. I'm going to stand on that. And other people that are committed to doing just that will be unified, and we'll start making a difference where we are.
To the church at Corinth, Paul said, this is kind of a well-known passage too, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment."
Yeah.
So that's what we ought to be striving for. Unfortunately, I think, and I believe we'll sort of draw this out in our discussion tonight, I think that there's some people who are very content with religious division. It doesn't bother them at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it didn't even in the first century. This isn't just a 21st century problem. In the first century, there in Corinth, you go a little bit deeper into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" They were already dividing up and saying, I'm a Paulite or I'm a Cephasite. No, you need to be a Christian only. Do what Christ said to do and quit being divided. They were having that problem then. And the solution was, hey, don't just agree to disagree. Everybody get together and be unified like Christ wants you to be unified.
To start us off, I want to go to a question from Brian out in California. And I think maybe it's a good thing to keep in mind as we study this. He says, "I think we can become too complacent, too self-assured, like Judah of old. They saw the northern kingdom carted off into captivity, but falsely consoled themselves with the presumption it couldn't happen to them. Inconceivable to the southern kingdom that the possessors of the temple could ever be conquered. Jerusalem didn't save them." God teaches the point. When his patience and long-suffering are over, he gave Israel a certificate of divorce and had them taken away by the Assyrians in Jeremiah 3 into enslavement, never to return. The warnings and admonitions are there. We need to heed them. And so I think Brian's comment is a good place to start. We just can't assume it's all okay, because he points out that Judah in the Old Testament had that notion. They believed that no matter what we do, we're God's people. He loves us. He's going to accept anything we offer. And that kind of complacent attitude, of course, led to their ultimate demise. not only had the northern kingdom been carried away, but ultimately the southern kingdom was carried away into captivity, because even though they felt sort of satisfied and complacent, God was not pleased. And we got to be careful then religiously that we don't develop this idea that we're okay, God loves us, anything we do will be fine. That's not the case.
We need to check up to God's word and make sure that we are. We're not part of the reason why there is religious division, that we're not in error. We need to make sure that we come back constantly to God's word and make sure that we're in alignment. Appreciate Brian in California, those comments. Brian's in the chat room tonight. If you'd like to sign in and chat with him tonight and other listeners, do that in the chat room. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, so let's start out with that first question. People say, I know I'm saved because I feel so good about it. If I were lost, I know I wouldn't feel so sure that I'm saved.
Well,
so that's almost circular reasoning there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Others say that we can just pray to God and God will give us a feeling. I know there's a certain religious group that says that God will give you sort of a burning feeling in your heart. You'll know. A feeling will overwhelm you and you'll know. So others say that all it takes is to if you feel good about it, it's enough, or if you're sincere, it's enough. We'll talk a little bit more about sincerity in another question. But here's the bottom line. Can a person be certain he's right religiously simply because he feels right? Now, stop to think about that. We got all these different religious groups out there, but I think pretty obviously the people in all these different religious groups feel good about it.
Yeah.
If they didn't feel good about it, I assume they would leave that. You know, if a person said, this religion that I'm in is just not right.
Yeah.
I don't feel right about it.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
I'm just going to keep doing it. No, that wouldn't even be logical.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a given that people in whatever religion they're in feel good about what they're doing.
Even the extreme ones. You remember the Hale-Bopp comment? Maybe a little bit too early. You remember, Kyle? Yeah, the Heaven's Gate people. You remember they committed that mass suicide? Now, do you suppose they whatever they drank or did to kill themselves? You suppose they did that? They go, this is wrong. This has got to be wrong. No, those extremists we're dead right, literally.
Yeah.
And so, just because you feel right is absolutely no guarantee at all.
Yeah,
no guarantee.
And you know, logically, we understand that in practically everything else we do. I know, Jacob, you and I, we don't buy new cars, we buy used cars. And we typically agonize over that decision whenever we have to buy one.
Yeah.
And so you check up on it. Maybe you read, try to get online and see if that particular model that you're looking at has a history of specific kind of issues. Because, man, you can't just look at a car and say, man, that's a pretty car. I feel good about that car. I want to buy that car.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that.
I just got a feeling. Yeah. When I saw the car, I just had a feeling. That's the one I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
No.
So you don't do that about things like, you wouldn't do that about buying a house. You wouldn't do that about choosing a doctor. You don't follow your feelings. You investigate.
Yeah.
But for some reason, people have the idea that when it comes to religion, as long as it feels good, it's okay. And that's not logical.
No. But we use a lot more care. A lot more caution and things that are of a lot less significance. We need to do the same with our religion.
In Matthew 7, Jesus, this is, of course, a famous section of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talked about some people who apparently felt pretty good about what they were doing. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So that seems to be fairly descriptive of some people who felt pretty good about what they were doing. I've often thought it was actually the representation there is that they were arguing with the Lord in judgment. No, 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 Lord, we're okay. I think you got to rethink that, Lord, as you...
You might be looking at the wrong list there. We got to be on the list
there. We've got to be on the good list because, look, we feel pretty good about what we've been doing.
Yeah.
They were going to argue with the Lord in the day of judgment, that they felt good about what they were doing.
They were sincere. They had been making sacrifices, but they were not right. And so that is an admonition and warning for us.
Yeah.
to our listeners. Daniel down in Florida says David and Israel felt like the ox cart was a good idea in 1 Chronicles 13. You remember that one?
Yeah, Uzzah
touched the ark. It looked like a good idea on paper.
And they thought they were doing a pretty good thing.
Yeah. At first, Naaman felt like that washing in the Jordan was a bad idea, 2 Kings 5:11 and 12.
Naaman the leper, you know, who came from Damascus seeking a healing.
He was mad when he got that.
He was angry when Elisha said, by a messenger, by the way, Elisha didn't even come out to meet him, sent his messenger out, just go dip seven times in the Jordan River. That did not suit Naaman. It wasn't what he thought. I know if you go to that text that Daniel has referenced, you'll remember that famous quote from Naaman, "Behold, I thought that the man of God would come out and wave his hand over the place and all that." But it is what he was told to do different from what he thought he would be expected to do, and he wasn't content with that.
All right. We have an email from Mohan up in Illinois tonight. Good to hear from Mohan. He says, a person cannot be right just because he feels right, since the Bible says our heart is deceitful, and the way of a man may seem right, but in the end it leads to destruction, referencing some passages there in Psalm, Proverbs 16, verse 25, and 14, verse 12. Let's appreciate that from Mohan tonight. Kent says, Saul of Tarsus, prior to his conversion to truth, rejected Christ and persecuted the church while he was feeling good about his actions, Acts 26, verse 19. He had a clean conscience. He was killing Christians. And if you'd ask that, if you die tonight, you're going to be right with God? Absolutely. No doubt at all. I'm going to be right.
Would this have been what we said in our question? This potentially could have come out of the mouth of Saul of Tarsus. I know I'm saved because I feel so good about it. Yeah. If I was lost, I know I wouldn't feel so sure that I'm saved.
Oh, man, I know exactly what I'm doing right.
You can almost imagine Saul of Tarsus saying those very words.
Yeah, I've lived in all good conscience. Lydia, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, sincerely worshiped God and no doubt felt good about her spiritual condition until she heard the gospel of Christ, Acts 16, 14. For a number of years, I was sincerely involved in denominationalism, received my undergraduate college education in a denominational college, and for a period of time was a denominational preacher. I was just as sincere in my error as I now am in God's truth. When I began to defend such error in light of the scriptures, I clearly saw that I was wrong and was brought to gospel obedience in spite of my previous good feelings.
Well, I know Kent very well personally, and I know Kent's story. And I'm telling you, if a person like Kent is to be commended for having the willingness to analyze, what am I doing? Doesn't matter how I feel about it. What am I doing? How does it stack up?
All right. Thank you,
Kent. We got a question from Eric that we may try to take later in the program, or we might put it into our stack of stuff. I'm going to read the question, and then you all can think about it. I think we'll probably add it to our stack of stuff. Eric asks, can a person be taught wrong and baptized right? I've heard this expression many times. That's a good question. I think we may save that and discuss that in another program.
Thanks, Eric, for that. Eric's in the chat room as well. If you're not signed in, sign in there. We're going to get a break, and when we get back, the next question to consider is the next question.
I'm sorry. You're talking to me.
I'm talking to you.
Frequently, we hear people express differing viewpoints about even the most serious religious issues. Why is this?
All right. We're going to break. Get your thoughts during the break. Send them in. Don't go anywhere. We're back right after this.
Have you checked out all of the resources on collegeview.com lately? Check it out now while you listen to these important messages. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
I'm Dan Quillen, a member of the College View Church of Christ, with some thoughts about making plans. Have you made any definite plans for your spiritual life and for your service for God? We spend time prioritizing personal lives and setting goals in our careers, but do we think in those terms about the most important thing, our soul? Ask yourself these questions. What am I planning to do for God today? In the coming week, what good thoughts will I accomplish for Him? At this time next year, where do I want to be in my spiritual life? In 5 years from now, how will I have changed, improved, and grown in my work for God? 10 years from today, how will my family be? How will I have helped them grow spiritually? 20 years down the road, how will I be doing? As I approach death, what will have been the most important things in my life? Where will I be in eternity?
Here's some quotes worth pondering. What you do for yourself will soon be forgotten, but what you do for others will be long remembered. Those whose primary goal is to please others will likely fail to please God. Look around at what you have before you complain about what you don't have. Many receive advice, but only the wise profit from it. Man, wish I'd said that.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
Back on the program tonight as we talk about some of the causes for religious division. Again, it's very much against Christ's will for his followers to be divided. And we definitely don't want to be the cause of that division. We're looking for some of the reasons why that division exists. And as we do this, Dad, I think it's important that we ask ourselves, could we be guilty of some of these same thoughts, processes in our life? Could we be maybe resting on the idea that, well, if I feel good about my religion, it must be okay?
And like Brian said in our first comment that we read, got to be careful about complacency and thinking, I've got it. I'm there, man. I figured it out. It's all okay for me. I see other people are wrong, but I'm okay. We got to keep searching. We got to keep being honest. And that sort of lends to this second question. We hear people expressing really differing viewpoints on the most serious of religious issues. Why is this? Maybe to illustrate that, Jacob, you know, there are religious people who defend the practice of homosexuality.
Yep.
There are religious people who defend the practice of abortion.
Yep.
Well, obviously, there are those of us who are, it's either on or off here. It's either yes or no. It's black or white. There's no middle ground on that. It either is or is not acceptable to God. But we got people on both ends of that question. I mean, just 180 degrees opposed to one another. Why is that? Now, the assumption might be, for somebody who hadn't considered it before, well, the reason why is because the Bible is not clear on those subjects. The Bible is very ambiguous. It doesn't teach clearly on those subjects, so people are out here just trying to find their way independently. But that is not the case. And I don't want us to take the time to dive off specifically into something like homosexuality tonight or abortion. We've talked about those plenty of times on the virtual Bible study, and I think all of our listeners know exactly where we stand on that. The Bible is very clear about that. Why would it be that there would be some people in the religious world that would take a position condoning homosexuality? Well, I don't think it's because they don't understand the Bible. I don't think it's because they don't know the verses that we would cite. I think they know, for instance, on homosexuality, I think they know that we go quickly to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 so plainly condemns the practice of homosexuality. They know that. They know that passage. They know that passage as well as we know that passage. So why is it that they would take this opposing view? Well, Jesus may have identified that when he said in Matthew 13, verse 15, this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. I think the problem is some people just closed off their minds to a consideration of what the truth is.
Yeah, and they don't like the consequences of it. Jesus in John 3, verses 19 and 20 said, the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And you can see that when you talk to people about clear truths in God's Word. You can sort of see the wheels turning in their mind. If I accept this, then that means I can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I accept this, then I've got to change that.
They loved darkness rather than light.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
What have we got here in our email?
Well, I like what Daniel said. He talks about elders in verse Titus chapter 1, verse 9, have to be able to convict the gainsayers. In Titus 1, verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to both exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And so
the word gainsayer there in the King James is an antiquated word. I think newer versions are going to say those who deny or something of that nature.
But he's got to use sound doctrine. I think that's one of the devil's tactics here as we think about the people adopting differing viewpoints. Sound doctrine. The devil likes to just cast a little doubt on doctrine, make it a little fuzzy.
He doesn't have to come right out and totally, A person doesn't have to totally deny the Bible. They just have to question aspects of it, because you don't have to be 100% off. You just have to, I mean, a little, being off a little is enough for a Satan
satisfaction. Go back to the homosexual practices and the defense of those. Those people who want to defend homosexuality haven't cut those verses out of their Bibles. They're still there. What the devil has done is he's placed a little doubt on the credibility of those passages. Should they really be there?
Yeah.
Was that just Paul expressing some type of homophobia? Was that maybe we have to twist it around and say, well, it was just the culture that they lived in, and that's why it was in there. See, he just puts little twist on the scriptures instead of that sound doctrine. Just got to twist it a little bit.
We talked about this last Sunday night in our sermon, but there are some people who, the implication of their teaching is that God was not capable of revealing a plan that we could live by. He didn't have the ability to make a timeless message that would be applicable to all men of all time. And therefore, we have to sort of adapt,
yeah,
because we live here, well, we live 2,000 years after the New Testament documents were written. And so it just doesn't fit us real well. We just have to adapt ourselves and apply the parts we like and maybe reject the parts we don't.
John 3:19-20, the light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Hey, it's clear God's scriptures can be understood, but men love darkness rather than light, and perhaps that's the problem for much of the religious division. Daniel goes on, references 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of God is for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. If we do not agree with God's word, it will not change to agree with us. Excellent point, Daniel. We're the ones who have to change. We have to mold ourselves to what the scriptures teach.
Mohan says there are different viewpoints since most people want to hold on to their traditions instead of what the Bible says, and oftentimes won't like what the plain word of God says. I think Mohan's right about that. And again, something for us all to be careful about. This is what I always did. This is what I've always, my parents did this before me and my grandparents before them. My family has always done this and they've always done it this way. And so we almost don't even question it. Don't
check up.
Check it out.
You got to check up. Hey, and Mohan's another one of those who can speak from experience. Mohan's made some changes in
He's
rejected some of those things in the past that weren't in line with what the scriptures teach. Kent says the reason is due to the fact that even sincere religious people do not always reason correctly from the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 5:21.
I think Kent's right about that. I talked to Kent a while back on the phone, and we were discussing what I think is one of the breakdowns in modern-day education, and that is a failure to teach the principles of logic and reasoning. You know, I know when I was a kid, and that was a long time ago, but there was some emphasis on teaching along this line. If this is true and this is true, therefore this must be true. Even in the study of mathematics, we studied that way. In science, we studied that way. But it was a basic concept of logic and reasonable thought processes, drawing conclusions based on those methods. I'm not sure we're getting a lot of that in the education system of our day.
You guys were working out those problems on your tablets too, weren't you?
Those clay tablets.
All right. Dwight says, is it possible that people don't look into God's word for themselves, but rather just take someone else's take on things because the Bible is just too difficult to understand?
I think that's true, Dwight.
But it's not, the Bible's not too difficult to understand. It's just that we don't want to put the effort
into that people just won't search it out for themselves. The real solution is what the Bereans did in Acts 17:11. They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily whether the things were true. And that's the solution to that problem. We would not have such varying viewpoints if everybody did what the Bereans did.
All right, let's get a break, and we'll get this week's bullet point when we get back. Number three
is we live in an age of religious tolerance. That's what we're taught. You know, we're told we have to be tolerant. So many people say that what we believe does not matter. The important thing is that we sincerely try to please God according to whatever we do believe. Others say one faith is as good as another. So the question is, how important is truth in regards to those concepts?
All right, we're going to end this break with this week's bullet point, and we'll take it up on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. Paul told Timothy to, quote, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, unquote. That's 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It has been suggested that this phrase literally means to preach when folks like it and when they don't. In another place, the apostles prayed for boldness in their preaching, Acts 4, verse 29. So preachers are to boldly proclaim a message that will sometimes be unpopular. In the process of doing this work, a preacher is in a precarious situation. This boldness may cause his hearers to think that he is overconfident. Some may imagine that he is closed-minded. There may be the impression that he is not open to other points of view or that he wants to stifle what others have to say. Sadly, in some cases, and with some preachers, these accusations may be true. However, no preacher worth his salt wants to discourage open discussion of issues. And while he may speak forcefully on a given topic, he acknowledges his own limitations and the possibility that he can err in understanding the Scriptures. If he is obedient to the Word, he knows that he, like all others, must continue to, quote, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. In this age of political correctness, it has become increasingly unpopular to tell people that they are wrong about anything. But, of course, that is the significant part of what preachers do. Those who are doing their best to, quote, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, will inevitably touch on some areas that are close to home. When this happens, we urge you to seriously consider what has been said, honestly examine yourself to see if you need to apply the lesson, be willing to rethink your previous position, and finally, do not hesitate to share your thoughts and concerns with the preacher. If he's the kind of man he ought to be, he will gladly discuss any issue with you. Give him the chance to do so. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
My name is Cole, and I'm 8 years old.
My name is Thomas, and I'm 7 years old.
And our families love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:17. Now, back to the program.
Back on the program tonight, reminding you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Our website, thevirtualbiblestudy.com or collegeview.com. Check it out. And check us out. We'd love for you to come and worship with us. We'll talk about it toward the end of the program.
Yeah, we still got a modified schedule going, but maybe we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I hope so. Stay tuned for that, and we'll look forward to seeing you. We're talking about religious division on the program tonight, and what may be some of the causes of it as we.
But I would tell you, you are an intolerant person. I know you. And I believe that you are not practicing the principles of religious tolerance.
Oh.
Because the view of most people is that what you believe doesn't matter so long as you are sincere in what you believe. And that really one faith is as good as another. But you don't appear to accept that idea. So I'm branding you as religiously intolerant.
Well, you know, that is somewhat of a straw man because everyone is religiously intolerant.
Good point. Good point. Yeah,
there are things that everyone draws a line on. You know, there are folks, as we mentioned, you mentioned the Hale-Bopp Comet, the Heaven's Gate people, committing mass suicide in the name of religion. I think almost unanimously, you ask somebody on the street, is that acceptable religious practice? No, mass suicide is not acceptable religious practice. So are they intolerant because they draw a line?
And you don't even have to go that far out, although that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are a lot of people say, "Oh, I can't go along with those Jehovah's Witnesses. I just can't buy that." Or someone says, "I just don't agree with the Mormons. I can't go along with the Mormons." Yeah. Some people might say that about the Catholics. You know, the Catholics have some pretty strong opposition, and I just can't buy that. I can't buy into the Catholic Church. Everybody draws the line somewhere, and the question is, where are we going to draw the line?
How about Luke chapter 6, verse 46? Jesus drew the line. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Let's draw the line where Jesus drew it. Yeah. Do what he said.
You know, again, this goes back to what I was saying a minute ago about the idea of being logically consistent. If it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere in the believing of it, then what about a sincere atheist?
Right.
What about the atheist who sincerely believes that there is no God? Well, that's what he believes. Shall we be tolerant of that? Well, God's not tolerant of that. Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What about the Muslim There are a lot of Muslims in the world. Their numbers are growing rapidly in a percentage of the worldwide population. They do not accept the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. They say he was a prophet and a good man, but not the Son of God. Shall we be religiously tolerant of the Muslim? I'm sad to say, I think some people would answer that. Yeah, I think some very liberal people would say, yes, we've got to even be tolerant of the Muslims.
The Pope has even said that.
The Pope has said something along that
similar
line.
Similar to that, maybe.
Yeah. But Jesus said in John 8, verse 48, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So you either accept Jesus as what he claimed to be, the only begotten Son of God, or you don't. If you don't, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, verse 6. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, you can't have it both ways. You can't say he was a good man. We talked about this, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the claims of Jesus. You can't have it both ways. But are we to be tolerant of that sort of thing? We have to, if we're going to believe Jesus, not only do we believe who he is, we believe what he said. In Acts chapter 3, Peter quoted Moses. And so I'm reading from Acts 3 where Peter is quoting from what Moses said. Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Seems pretty exclusive, doesn't it? Seems like it wouldn't matter. Now, there are people who take this view, as long as I'm sincere, it's okay. They would agree with us this far. Oh, yeah. That does not include the Muslim. That does not include the atheist. But it does include everybody who at least acknowledges Jesus would be their argument. The problem with that, of course, is that if we're going to believe Jesus and if we're going to believe the Word of God, then it's more exclusive than just believing in Jesus. In 2 John, very short, one chapter book, 2 John, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. And so, again, the idea of this religious tolerance is not taught in Scripture, and specifically not taught by Jesus and the inspired apostles.
Absolutely. Look at 2 John or 2 Timothy chapter 3 sometime. We don't have time to look at it now. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 outlines some people that were going to come in and teach things that weren't in accordance with God's Word. And it would lead people away captive, and it would cause people to be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because of teachings that were along the lines of what Christianity teaches, but they were twisted, they were perverted, and it caused people to lose their soul.
1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Yes.
2 Peter chapter 2 said, There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So there's just all kinds of warnings like that. And the warnings are really meaningless
if it doesn't matter.
If it doesn't matter and anything goes.
You talk about religious things today, Kyle, with folks that, well, you know, you see it your way, I see it mine, and that's okay. Everything's good. That's not the picture we're seeing here from these passages.
Well, anyway, I mean, years ago, 50 years ago, a Baptist and a Methodist probably would be, you know, knocked down, drag out, a brawl over what they believe. But I think our world tolerance, our tolerance about whatever we believe, whatever you think, if it's good, if you feel good about it, it's good, has bled into religious world, which has been that way for many years. Obviously, we've written our Bibles about tolerance, but yeah, it's if you have this creed that you believe, why not defend it it's hard to get people to come on the virtual Bible study to defend what they believe. So it's just hard to, and nobody wants to say, well, we'll draw a line here, but no further. We're not going to go, what you believe isn't what we believe. We can't, so it has to be wrong, but nobody wants to defend that.
That's a really good observation, and how hard we have tried, Jacob, through the years. We've had some success. There have been a few people who've been willing to join us. We recently had a really good, nice man, a Lutheran preacher who joined us, and is very kind to do that, and we really appreciated his good attitude.
He and us, we felt like it was a very beneficial study and discussion.
But we don't get very much success, although we constantly are putting out invitations to people to join us on the virtual Bible study to discuss differences.
On vastly divergent things where both of us can't be right, and folks are just like, it doesn't matter. How can it not matter? We're talking about the Bible and what God said, and either you're saying something that's not what Jesus said, or I'm saying something that's not what Jesus said. That's a damnable heresy, I would think. Somebody needs to change. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter. We'll just tolerate. No. Can't.
Daniel, in his email, said Peter seemed sincere. And he references Matthew 16, beginning verse 21. That's when Jesus was foretelling that he was going to be ultimately crucified. And Peter said, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I think Peter's was sincere and really thought he was doing a good thing by saying, I'm not going to let this happen to you, Jesus. And Jesus sternly rebuked him when he said that.
Yeah, and Daniel goes on and says, Jesus said, if you continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have to continue in Jesus's words. And he used the description there of truth, and he used the singular, the truth. The truth will make you free. Not just many truths, not plural truths. The truth will make you free. Mohan.
Go ahead.
Says the truth is very important in that there can be eternal consequences if truth is not followed. As an example, someone can sincerely drink a glass of orange juice with poison, believing it is pure, but if it has the poison, it could lead to death regardless of the person's sincerity.
I think that's a really good illustration that Mohan uses. You know, no matter how sincere you might be, that this is a pure glass of orange juice or whatever else it is. I mean, you may think it 100% so, but you drink it, it'll kill you. And no matter how sincere your feelings were about it, you'd still be just as dead. One of the Bible examples that we use a lot along this line is the case of Jacob in the Old Testament, when his sons came and told him, well, they didn't actually tell him. They let him draw his own conclusion. They brought back the many-colored coat that Joseph wore, and it was stained with animal blood. And Jacob jumped to the conclusion that Joseph had been killed by a wild beast in the field. And he was absolutely sincere in that conclusion, and he wept and he mourned and he could not be consoled. But he was completely wrong. And he's a really good example of how wrong you can be, even though you're ultimately sincere.
Yep. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Kent says, one faith is not as good as another. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Such being the case, he is the only way unto God the Father, John 14, verse 6. And all other ways lead to eternal condemnation, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Thank you for that.
Yep. I think you're right, Ken. I think, again, so the question said, we live in the age of religious tolerance. I think that's true. We also live in an age of political correctness. And you put those two things together, and so we're supposed to tolerate anything that a person chooses to do religiously. And we're never supposed to speak out against it. It's politically incorrect to speak out against anybody for anything. And so you get those two attitudes combined, and it's drinking the poison, as Mohan was saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the chat room, Dwight had talked about the fact that some folks want to just take someone else's view on things because they don't want to just read the study of the Bible themselves. Eric responded, it's easier to listen and follow than to read and study and reason. And that certainly is true. Maybe that's one of the causes of religious division, is that we're just lazy. We don't want to dig in for ourselves. Dwight said, some are intolerant to us for not accepting sin. And that's right. That intolerance, the ones who are branding folks intolerant are intolerant themselves. And so it is hypocritical. We can't accept you because you're not tolerant. Well, you're not accepting us. And that's intolerant in and of itself.
You know, it's amazing that these tolerance people are tolerant of everything except us when we question things.
Yeah.
I once in a Bible study had a woman tell me, this is a number of years ago, a long time ago. She said, I'm only dogmatic about one thing in religion, and that's not being dogmatic. And so this was a number of years. She was sort of on the cutting edge of this this idea that now has taken root. And that is the idea, you just have to accept anything anybody does. And you're wrong. You are the wrong one if you dare to question anybody else's religious faith.
All right. Dwight says, many say by being intolerant to sin, we are judging people. We are to judge righteous judgment. You shall know them by their fruits, according to Matthew.
Yeah, John 7:24, judge righteous judgment. Jesus commanded us to do that.
All right. Let's get a break. When we get back, we got two quick questions to take.
Number four. How much do you value truth in religion? And then the final question, which I'm anxious to talk about, is you're just too narrow-minded. In today's society, you need to be more broad-minded. So how do you view it? Should we be narrow-minded or broad-minded?
Kyle's narrow-minded. Oh, boy. Here we go. Let's talk about that. We'll get it on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hello. Hey, Matt. No, I don't have any plans for Friday night. What are you doing? Oh, I won't be able to go with you to watch that movie. Because, Matt, the movie is rated R. Hey, why don't you just come over and hang out at my house Friday night? Great, I'll see you there.
Being pleasing to God means that you may have to be different than the crowd, but don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. You just might find it is easier than what you expect. A message brought to you by College U Church of Christ.
We're tracking the trends on the virtual Bible study. If Americans got to choose, houses of worship would be one of the first organizations reopened when social distancing restrictions are scaled back. That's according to a new poll on Reopening Society. More than one-third of registered voters, 35%, said in-person church services and other religious gatherings should be opened as soon as possible. Fewer Americans said the same about schools, 31%, bars and restaurants, 21%, and large entertainment events like NBA games and concerts, 14%. That survey is by ScottRasmussen.com. The Word of God says in Psalm 111, verse 1, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation.
For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. The virtual Bible study continues.
We're back on the program. Going to the top of the hour, going fast now, as we take a couple look at a couple different things that may be causing some religious division in the world today. Maybe the source of some of the reason why we experience religious division ourselves, because we're not maybe aligned with the truth.
Well, the question is, how much do you value truth? And I think that this is a really root cause question. I don't think people think it's all that significant, that truth is not all that important. It's reflected somewhat in some of the attitudes we've already discussed, the idea that sincerity is what really matters. One faith is as good as another. And so the people who take those views, I think, are reflecting the fact that they do not have don't place a value, they don't have an appreciation for the truth.
Have we sold truth for other things? For instance, fitting in with the crowd, being more popular.
Yeah, numbers. Drawing bigger crowds.
What I can get out of the church.
Compromising the truth because I don't want to be ostracized or persecuted.
Yeah.
I don't want to be considered odd or different.
Yeah.
I think so. And Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Well, how would you sell the truth? I think it's just exactly what you were suggesting, Jacob. You sell the truth by backing away from it, watering it down, because something else is more important to you than it is. Something else is more valuable to you than it is.
Truth has consequences. It's going to have consequences in my life. It's going to have consequences in my relationship with others. If I stand on the truth, there may be some pretty serious consequences. Jesus said that he came to separate father and son, daughter and mother. He brought the sword because truth has consequences, and maybe I'm not willing to take those consequences, so I'll sell the truth for harmonious relationships, for instance.
Yeah, good point. Think about some of the examples in the Bible. Think about the Old Testament prophets who paid the price. Many of them, you know, some were actually killed. A lot of them were severely persecuted for what they taught. Certainly the apostles of Jesus Christ, what they suffered. We know some of those things in details. History tells us that all but one of the apostles died violent deaths because of their devotion to the truth. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate example. When they had him on trial, they asked him whether he was the Son of God. When he affirmed it to be the truth that he was the Son of God, then they of course, used that as justification for killing him. And so all through the Scripture, people that we actually hold up in esteem, you know, you read your Bible, you hold up in esteem men like Jeremiah, you know, Ezekiel. You hold up in esteem the Apostle Paul, who suffered so much. The ultimate example, Jesus, you hold him up in high esteem. What was the consistent thing of all those people and most perfectly seen in Jesus? They loved the truth. They valued the truth.
How about Stephen? The face of the folks who are going to kill him, he's not backing down. He's going to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
He's not going to say, hey, listen, you guys see it your way, I see it mine. Put those rocks down. There's no reason to have, you know, no reason to start throwing rocks.
Hey, let's talk about this. We can compromise.
Hey, we'll get along. No.
In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning verse 10, speaks of those who would do the work of Satan come with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Why did they perish? They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they may all be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So people are going to be lost because they don't love or value God's truth.
Lou says, I think the fact that we're discussing this right now shows we value the truth. Thank you for that, Lou.
I hope that's right. I hope that the reason why we do the Verge Bible study and why you all listen and participate is because you value the truth. And that's the way it should be. And of course we got to go where it takes us.
The things we value, we're willing to pay the price for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's certain things I value that I've paid great sums of money for because of the value I placed for. I was willing to pay the cost.
Yeah.
Truth, if we're going to buy the truth, as it said, and sell it not, that means I'm willing to pay the price.
Yeah.
Kyle, there's times when I've met the truth and it was going to be painful to accept it, but I had to accept it. Right, and then that's buying the truth. That's valuing the truth.
I think sometimes buying, if we buying it's a salvation, but if we go through the process of obeying the gospel, and sometimes we have to pay a huge price. Sometimes our families are ostracized by our families.
We know those who are at odds with their own families because of issues concerning the truth. Well, that's sad. When it happens, it's sad. We can speak by experience. That's a sad thing, but
they valued the truth more than they valued other things.
Exactly right.
Daniel says, personally, when I do not stand up for truth, everything starts to lose meaning. It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter if we believe it or not. But the truth is powerful and able to make us pure and cannot be destroyed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. You know, that is the slippery slope that you go down if you don't value the truth. And that's what we see in the religious world today. And it started, we can look at it in marriage relations. The people didn't value the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and they started to accept anything.
Yeah.
And people that are, once we start down that slippery slope, then we had to accept homosexual marriage. And it's documented. We have quotes of folks who said, you know, hey, listen, we've accepted heterosexual marriages that aren't along the lines of what the scriptures teach, because we didn't value that truth. We sold it. We're going to have to sell the truth on homosexual relations and allow that to be consistent. And so once you start to sell the truth, as Daniel said, everything starts to lose meaning. It doesn't matter what you mean because you're not consistent.
Exactly. Kent says, I'm willing to stake my eternal soul upon the truth of God. 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Dwight says, I see Christians preaching the truth, but not the whole truth. They are afraid they would drive someone from the truth to teach them how to live. And that's true. Some folks are unwilling to take the line that the truth demands because, well, people might get angry. They might go away.
Okay, real quick. We're going to have to go quickly here. I think this is an important question. Last one that we sent out today. You're just too narrow-minded. In today's society, you have to be more broad-minded. So what about that? Should we be narrow-minded or broad-minded when it comes to religion? Again, it's sad that people throw common sense and logic out the window when it comes to religion. They're narrow-minded about, for instance, mathematics. There are right and wrong answers. There's one right answer to a mathematics question. And I'm not just talking about theoretical mathematics or, you know, a homework assignment that a teacher might give to a school student. If I stop by the convenience store and buy a cup of coffee and I don't get the right change back from the cashier, I'm going to say, well, oh, wait a minute. I gave you a $10 bill and you just gave me change for a $5. You know, we're gonna work that out. I'm not gonna be broad-minded and say, well, you know, she's got a different answer to that question than I did.
And I'm enlightened. I'm willing to say she's right.
She probably she's free to have her opinion about
who's
what
to say. I've been to college.
So in other words, we're not broad-minded on lots of things that matter. But for some reason, the thing that matters most, we're told we got to just be general and broad-minded.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense.
Daniel says, I try not to be closed-minded, but I want to believe the truth, not a lie. 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in. But he who so keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Got to keep the word. Got to be in line with the word. And Kent says, when it comes to truth, the areas of truth, I am definitely narrow-minded. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Let's talk about the narrow way and the broad way.
That's the perfect text right there that Kent brings up.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that findeth. You know, hey, listen. If we're going to be right with God, Jesus said, get ready to be in the minority. On the narrow way. It's not going to be popular. It's not what everybody wants. You're going to be in the minority. I mean, and it's not going to change. We shouldn't have dreams that, oh, someday the truth will be popular and everybody's going to want to follow the truth and I can just go with everybody else. No.
In Ephesians 4, we'll wrap up with this. Ephesians 4. Paul urged, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What's the format for achieving that? Verse 4, there's one body and one Spirit. You're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in all, and above all and in you all, through all and in you all. I'll get that right in a minute. But notice, there's one faith. It's not various faiths. One faith is as good as another. There's one body, and the same epistle says that the body is the church. There's one true church of our Lord. That's not broad-minded. That's narrow-minded. We have to be narrow-minded.
All right. Very good discussion. Very important discussion as we think about causes of religious division. Jesus isn't happy with the religious division in the world today. He wants us all to be unified. And, well, Dad, it starts with me. It starts with you. Are we going to accept the truth? Are we going to stand on the principles of the truth versus our feelings? Are we going to buy the truth and sell it not?
Yeah, I think it's important things. And that's the reason we call it, these are some of the root causes. These are some of the basic causes of religious division. It's this faulty way of thinking that people have adopted.
And people are happy with the division. That's the amazing thing is that people are just fine.
Yeah.
You believe something 180 degrees opposite of me? Oh, that's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Jesus isn't happy with it. Kyle?
I think sometimes because under apathy, I think we're just letting, well, God will sort it out in the end. You know, we need to be careful. We need to save our brethren now while we have the chance to. You know, it's if he believes something wrong, we need to try to save him. Don't let him fall into the judgment of God, hands of God. So that's a terrible thought, though. So we need to make every opportunity to save him from the return, snatch him from the fire. So.
Exactly right.
Thank you, Kyle, for being here and helping us. Dwight adds here, we'll close with this. Being broad-minded takes us down the road of being lukewarm.
Lukewarm, broad-minded, lukewarm, broad way that leads to destruction. That doesn't sound right.
No. Dad, thanks for a good discussion tonight.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, times.
Remember, we're still on a modified schedule. And if you're in our area, we would urgently invite you to come and join us Sunday morning at 10:30. We're going to meet in our parking lot, still observe all the rules of social distancing and so forth, although they have been largely lifted in our state of Tennessee. But the plan is for the next two Sundays, we'll still be in the parking lot, maintaining great separation. Our target date for...
It's not great. I mean, it's sort of mediocre. I'd rather be in the auditorium where we're separate.
Our target date is the first Sunday in June, which I believe is June 7th, to be back in our auditorium. So parking lot service, 10:30 Sunday morning. Our online sermon at 6, College View live stream. Our online Bible study, the Book of Acts, Wednesday night at 7, College View live stream. Now, that's a different YouTube channel. That's not this virtual Bible study YouTube channel. So go to our homepage, collegeview.com, and you'll see the link to our YouTube channel, which is College View live stream. Go there for Sunday night, Wednesday night. Come back here on Thursday night for the virtual Bible study.
Now, are you saying that the drive-in worship is a limited time offer, limited time only?
Yeah, hopefully. I sure hope so. Yeah. But I think we're the plan right now, all subject to the will of God, of course, is two more Sundays, this Sunday and the following, in the parking lot.
Yeah, my in-laws came to town last week, and they were excited about going to a drive-in worship.
How'd they like it?
Well, I think they liked it, but you know, my wife said, you know, if you want to go, if you want to come, you better hurry because you know, won't be doing it for long.
I hope that's right.
Hey, so if you want to come to a drive-in worship, maybe come before it's too late.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle. Look forward to seeing you Sunday morning in the parking lot in your car, and look forward to seeing you here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.